Yeah, this is just a testimony Sunday. Pastor James will preach that next Sunday. But my dad, I think we prayed for him last week because he had a brother, stepbrother pass. Now he had a sister-in-law pass. And he still is struggling with Helen's passing, which is almost 3 years ago. And we meet with him as children. You know, during the week we take days. And we're pulling him. Just trying to encourage him and stuff. And I drove him to the funeral yesterday, and he was, you know, just saying that, you know, he woke up at 2:30 in the morning, that death seems to really be a focus of his right now. And I said, you know, death is actually the doorway for believers to heaven. You know, trying to get him to see Bobby is not struggling. Like, Bobby has seen Jesus face to face. You know, as a believer, he has that moment with Jesus, and Nora as a believer has that moment with Jesus, and Helen as a believer has that moment with Jesus. Like, it's not, and I don't stand up here with all the answers, but I think what we focus on controls us. If we focus on death, it controls us. And if we focus on what that day actually is for that person that passed, it's that blink of an eye moment with Jesus. And it's such a beautiful thing that I think if we allow our focus to stay on the death part, it really can defeat us and pull us down. And that's what the enemy is his win, if he can pull us down. And I think there's something else I wanted to say. Hey, that is true. And it was good at the funeral, though. I saw a lot of my, I'm going to call them cousins because that's what literally they are, but they're 85 and 90 years old, because there was a first wife, and we are children of my grandfather's second wife. So I do have cousins that are much older, but it was really good to see them. And I talked to Roland Feig, and I said, these are the golden years. And I said, I think they lied to us. And just anybody that has a moment, just, it doesn't have to be a lot, you know, it's just during your week. One thing, that song that we just sang, it really is an invitation, you know, to bring those who struggle in life, the stories that we can share, and as believers know that Jesus walks those struggles with us. And it's just an encouragement, I think, to keep that mindset. Oh, and there will be Sunday school next Sunday. Yes. There are so many volunteers. I know we're looking for the perfect curriculum, but the Bible is the curriculum, and we're going to teach the Bible. And so thank you so much to the children that have come. Thank you so much for coming, because we do have a desire to teach you the word. So, and that's next Sunday. Look forward.
I'm just going to turn it left. How's that? Don't trip over this cord. Well, maybe I'm going to move it over here so nobody trips over it. I don't know. So anyway, I was motivated this week to share two stories from Shara, actually, last week. When Shara shared that her heart was pounding when Ron was in the hospital and she was scared. And she shared that she prayed that God would stop her heart from pounding, and she felt like God doused her in molasses or something like that, and everything just kind of slowed down. That's what I call, and what we call, a God moment. Okay? A moment that you can't explain to anybody else really what happened and what's going on. And so when I found out that we were going to be sharing this week, I want to share two God moments. And they don't have to be this week. Mine are very old, the two I'm about to share. And one does have to do with death. So I'm going to segue from Dennis's into my one. My first story I want to share is when my dad was literally dying. He was at home. He was in his bed. And my mom and I were at the bedside, and Dennis was at work. We were trying to get a hold, you know, it was before cell phones, 1996. Well, we didn't have cell phones, but anyway. We're trying to get a hold of Dennis, trying to get him to come home. The neighbors had the kids so that they weren't there. We didn't know how bad it was going to get, you know, that type of thing. And my father was a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and he was a prayer warrior. And not always. He was served in World War II, and he was a doubter until, actually, after I was born. He had a conversion moment, but he was faithful from that moment on, just had an amazing life. That's another story. But as he was passing, I prayed, Lord, where are you? Like, what is taking so long? This man should not, he had suffered enough. He had been blown up by a landmine in World War II. I mean, he could hardly walk. He really suffered. Why is he still suffering? He was so faithful to you. Where are you? And I looked around the room for some reason, and in the corner of the room was my son, who's 30 now. His crib was in, he slept in my dad's room when he would stay over at Nanny and Pop-Pop's. And in the crib, literally through the crib, was a figure. Very faint, but I could see a figure standing there. And I thought, oh, there you are, Lord. And I turned back to my dad. Dennis got home in time. My dad passed away shortly after that. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And the funeral home came and took him. And that night, my mom said to me, did you see something in the room? And I said, yes. She goes, at the crib. And I said, yes. And she said, I think I saw Jesus standing there. And I said, I did too. I said, where are you? And I turned around, and there he was. Now, it wasn't clear. I didn't see his face. I saw a figure standing in the corner of the room. God is with us every step we take, and even in the end. And I'm happy to know my dad is there in heaven now with my mom. But that's just one of the stories. Death, where is your sting? It does not have to be a sting. It is sad. And we miss that person. I wish today my dad, who would be 101 this March 9th, I wish he were here to see the things and be part of my life still. But I know where he is, and that's just a blessing. And the second story I want to share is similar along the same lines, and also has to do with my dad, actually. Dennis and I, we have a little beach cottage down near Rehoboth, and we've spent many years there. My parents bought it in 1984. And so Megan, who will be 33 this Tuesday, was about two and a half. Joey was in his stroller, and we were at the boardwalk in the evening. And if you've ever been to the beach, you know the boardwalk is packed in the evening, and nobody's on the beach. So we were there, and my dad was always, where's Megan? Where's Megan? Like, oh, you know, and it was driving me nuts, you know, like, where's Megan? Where's Megan? She's right here. She's right here. She's right here. Well, he said it one time. We were sitting at the benches, and I was standing in the back, and Megan was playing on the sand in between, behind the bench and the beach, and Dennis was on the other end, or I'm not sure who was on what end. But anyway, we thought we had her corralled, and my dad said, where's Megan? And I said, she's right, and I turn, and she wasn't there. The boardwalk was packed. I could see clearly up the back of all the benches. She wasn't there. I had just read a story in Reader's Digest. By the time you realize your child's missing, their hair's a different color and they're on their way out of town. You know, literally that day I read that story. My heart was in my throat. So I started running up the boardwalk, screaming for her name. And, of course, now everybody's looking at me because they could hear the panic in my voice, you know. And I got to the steps that led down to the beach. And I thought, she got that far, she probably went to the beach. And I turned and I looked at the beach, and there she was. And I turned and I looked at Dennis, and he registered that I saw her. He looked down at the beach. He jumped off the side of the boardwalk, which was probably like 6 feet. I don't know. Am I exaggerating? I don't know. 5 or 6 feet. I don't know. Jumped off the boardwalk and ran to Megan and grabbed her. And the look on Dennis's face, I thought he was going to throw up. You know, like it was like you were that panicky. That night we go to bed. Dennis says, "Hun, did you see anything when you looked at Megan?" And I said, "I did." We both saw a large, tall man, probably 7 to 8 feet, standing over her like this. And we both saw the same thing. And neither one of us said anything about it until later. And in truth, I thought of it later. At the time, it didn't register that what I saw, you know, because I looked at Megan, I saw this, I saw Dennis, he jumped. When I looked back, I saw nothing. His was the same experience. That's a God moment. I believe we saw Megan's guardian angel that day. Probably not supposed to see it, but we did. She was just down halfway between the beach and the boardwalk playing with the sand. You know, she was fine, but someone was protecting her when we couldn't. And so those are God moments. You don't have to have huge God moments. You might just get doused in molasses, but it's still, that's a God moment. When you can't explain what you saw or what you heard or what happened or how you felt, God is there. And so I just thank him for being such a part of our lives. You know, we have just been blessed over and over again in many ways. That doesn't mean we haven't had troubles. You know, I cared for my mom and in our home for 10 years with Alzheimer's disease, you know, changed her diapers, gave her showers. You know, we've been through, Dennis's mother was killed in a car accident when we were 17. I mean, we have had our share of troubles, but if you focus on what the Lord has done for you or is going to do for you, if you believe he is there for you. So I certainly open it up to anybody else. You don't have to have a crazy moment like me. You may not even fully believe I saw what I saw or Dennis saw what he saw, but we do believe it because we know that the Lord is good to us. So I'm just going to open up the mic. I feel also that these Sundays are a blessing because we get to share. We get to know each other a little bit better. And I just praise the Lord for that and for all the work he's doing helping Pastor James recover from his stroke, which he wasn't supposed to survive. So, again, the Lord, that's all we can say. Amen. Thank you.
Well, I'm the guy that's been in the hospital for a while, the VA hospital. I was a Vietnam vet, and I got home safe. And I just wanted to thank you folks for praying for me. I don't cry, but I do now. Anyway, later on I'll tell my testimony to whoever wants to hear it. I was born in Oregon or in Washington State and was raised by a foster mother in a log cabin. Believe it or not, I was in a log cabin, and it wasn't very nice in the winter time to me. So that's all I'm going to tell you right now. So I. Oh no, yeah. I had standard poodle when I was in high school. That's what got me through my high school years. have to pay for this and that. And anyway, I had a standard poodle and I got a female and we had about, I don't know, 6 or 8 pups and I got pretty good money for all of them. Yeah. So in 64, we won the state championship in basketball. That's all I'm going to say right now. So, thank you folks for praying for me. And
I just thought I'd share some scriptures with you. First one I'm starting out is Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? And, you know, it's like you grow up in church and things and you hear Bible verses and then you experience life. So last week I did mention, and most of you that have been, you know, that know me know that I have been in I'm retired from the Army Reserves. And I think that's partly why it got me through the deployments, like the Psalms. And then if you go down to verse 11, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he's going to lead you down the right path. He's not going to let you got a hold of you. And if you start to wander, he's going to put things in your life, like Mary Beth said about Megan. He put somebody in her life to keep her from getting in the ocean, or even somebody taking her. Okay. And the next one's Psalm 32, verse 7. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I see God in his hand in my life. I mean, I was like 14 and I had this dream of going to Penn State and getting a degree in agriculture education. And I had no idea how that was going to happen because we didn't have the money. But God made that happen. God and the Burnville Bank. That no longer exists. But anyway, so that was a struggle because I had insecurities. I didn't think I was good enough. Why would I even be allowed to go to Penn State and even graduate? And I didn't know, like, and then that was back, like, in 89-90 when Desert Shield storm was going on, and that was like every time the phone rang I thought I was going to be getting deployed, and I actually didn't get deployed. I completed my education, but as a forethought, I had my degree, I had my diploma mailed to me because I thought I was going to get deployed. And I didn't want to, so I never got to go to graduation. But that didn't matter anyhow. Moving right along. So in June of 1990, I was standing in a formation, and they asked down at Fort Eustis, Virginia, and they asked for volunteers to go augment a unit from Boston, Massachusetts. So I saw this hand go up, And something, it was like a voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but it says, you can't let her go alone. So I raised my hand, and that's how I wound up on my first deployment. And, the person that raised her hand was, her name's Honey, and we weren't really friends. She was kind of wild, and, so anyway, God put us together, and through that experience, she saw how I reacted to certain situations. Now, I wasn't a Bible thumper, and I guess I can kind of confess it. I'm not really sure if I was actually saved either, but I was just living how I thought, like the psalm says, teach me how to live, O Lord. And then, so anyway, years after that, and she was going through some things, she had been divorced and she's since remarried, and they actually took their children to an Easter egg hunt to a church. And because of the people accepting them, they came to know the Lord. But God planted a seed in her life when he put she and I together. Okay. So. Okay. Now moving to Psalm 62. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. That's verse 2. And now to verse 5 through 8. Let all that I am waiting quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. So, at any moment, in any time, we go through so many things, it's unreal. And when we turn to God, he provides the refuge that we can go to. I think that is what happened when I was deployed. I actually played in the Army Reserve Band, and I got a phone call one day, and it was the unit administrator, and she said, you gotta call me. He just left a message, says, you have to call me and right away. So I gave him a call back, and he says, I don't want to tell you this, but you've been laterally transferred to a unit in Bethlehem, and they're going to be deploying. And that was back in 2003. And so, I wasn't scared of dying or anything, and not everybody that goes to war dies or gets killed or even gets blown up or shot. I praise God for that, because it could have been a bad situation. But anyway, there I was. I was happy playing music for the military, and God pulled me out for a reason. And so I had no idea, and it was for a job that I never went to school for, so that was on the job training. And I was more afraid of not being able to do my job, but I think he was trying to teach me how to trust in him. And it got so bad that it was in the middle of the night at Fort Dix, and I just prayed a prayer. I had gone to the chaplain, and I was like, really, I was not handling the situation very well. And he said, well, you can go on sick call, and they can take a blood test, and they'll give you medication. And I thought, I'm okay under normal situations. And it's like, I'm not going to go there. So that's when I said a prayer that night. And I asked God to help me. When you have people depending on what you do and don't do, because I had to get that unit, well, God did provide. They provide a transportation officer that got our unit, all the equipment, got our stuff loaded in containers, got it to the port. And then basically then after all that, my job was done for the, until we got back, until we got over to Kuwait. And there I was like thinking, what am I going to do? So, I mean, from my previous deployment, I knew that I knew who to look for. I knew who ran the ports. So I found those people and they helped me. And so all along that line, God helped me do my job that I didn't know how to do. And I also, like, it was a mess hall that was a big warehouse. And I met a man. He was a major at the time, and he had this scar on his head. And he just happened to say, well, I got struck by lightning and I went through brain cancer. And I'm like, I was still struggling at the time because I did not want to be with those MPs. I didn't want to be there. But at that time I thought, you know, if this man that went through brain cancer is there, and that just took away my excuse. So through that, anyway, he was assigned to a unit. It was called, actually, the Defense Logistics Agency. He was a military member of the Defense Logistics Agency. And there were civilians that they fell under what they call troop support. And I kept in touch with the one woman that worked down in Philadelphia. And so I wound up, when I got back, after my, I got home and then I got deployed again, but I still kept in contact with those people. And then I finally applied for a position with the Defense Logistics Agency, and I was hired. No interview. I like those interviews type things. But anyhow, meeting that man years later, my mom wound up with breast cancer, and just seeing him keep, he just kept going, and that's what we did. We kept going. And it was just, and mom came through that, praise God. And she's been in remission ever since. It's a long time. So it's almost 20 years. Anyway, it'll be 20 years, March 23rd, that was the when I got back from that deployment. But the other, I'm back with the band, and then a month after I just got back to the band, I got an email from one of my friends in another unit and said, it's our turn. So I volunteered. I laterally transferred into that unit. I had already been in that unit and I knew the mission. And I got to spend a year on active duty with a man named Carl Schisler. He was a Vietnam vet as well, but he was in the Marines. And Carl came to Christ later in life, but when we were going through we had to get medical. He wound up, he had melanoma, and he went through the surgery and everything, and he fought to go on the deployment. And I said, really, you should stay home and take care of yourself. But he didn't. He went. So we get, it's a few years after that. Well, actually, it's a couple months after we got back. I get a call from him. And he says, the cancer has spread. It went to his brain, so they did brain surgery, and then it went through him. And he called me on the phone. He said, I just wanted to call and say that I love you, and I'm not going to be around very much longer. And so a few of us got in a car and drove to Florida so that we could spend time with him. And I remember sitting at church with him. And then just a few months, like maybe a month or so after that, he did pass. And I was at work, and I just happened to look down this aisle, and I said, there's Carl. But it wasn't him, and it just was God revealing to me that Carl's alive because Jesus is alive, and I'm going to see him again, and he'll probably be my sponsor when I show up in heaven. That's a joke, because a lot of times when you get to a unit, you get a sponsor. And so, but anyway, it's just amazing how God has a hand on people's lives, and one life touches another.
I'm not going to get up, but I'm just going to tell you a little story of what happened to me. I was out in Allen Hay. I had one round to go, and I don't know why. I prayed to God. It was lightning. Storming all around me. So I prayed, and I said, just let me get this one round done. So I got it done, and I went down to the barn, got the hay in the barn, and whoosh, rain came. So then another time, I was down another place, in a 25-acre field, and we baled hay, and same thing. It was lightning and storming, and a trucker came in and said, it's raining everywhere. Why didn't it rain down here? And I said, well, all right. Rained it on the board. Let me get this hay baled. And I got her all baled. Got in the shed in the, well, it was a horse arena. And we didn't know we were allowed to go in there, but we went in there anyway. And whooshed down the rain came. And that guy just couldn't believe it. And then another guy from church says, well, if Robert can do it, why can't I? Said he was a carpenter. And he said he was praying to God to get his tools away before they got wet. And then he got his tools all away. And then he came back and he was. That's all that. Jesus loves him.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it great to be alive and be covered in the blood of Jesus? You know, when you look through your lives, we've all had God moments. We haven't always recognized them, but we've always had them because God is with us 24/7. And I don't want to take James's thunder away and stand up here and preach. But I volunteer at a hospice, and it's the end-of-life hospice. So we have people coming and going all the time. And we do have people that are unchurched. And one of these women, I had asked her if she went to church, and she said no. And I asked her if anyone ever talked to her about Jesus, and she said no. I said, would you like someone to talk to you about Jesus? And she said no. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to talk to you about Jesus anyway because you're in bed and you can't get out. So I was going through my things and thought, you know, I'd like something that I could read to her. And this may not be a God moment, but to me it was a God moment. And I came up with Father's Love Letter. And I had seen this many years ago, and I still had a copy. So I took it to her, and I read it to her. And I want to read it to you, and it's not real long, and I hope I can get through it. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. You were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were born and conceived. Oh, gee. So, okay. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never step down. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my measured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you as a shepherd carries a lamb. I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. In him, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. and to tell you that I am counting your sins. I am not counting your sins against you. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love your dad, Almighty God. So I read this to her, and she closed her eyes. And afterwards, I said to her, I said, do you know that Jesus loves you more than anybody ever can? And she wasn't real responsive. But what I've found now is that every time I see her, I said, have you been thinking about Jesus? Because he thinks about you. And I also pray with her and give her a blessing. And you know, I know it's getting through to her because she closes her eyes. And when I'm done, she opens her eyes and she has the most beautiful smile. So I thought everyone needed to hear this. We have to be reminded that God continues to love us. And, you know, I read through the Bible and then I start all over again. And I'm in Revelation right now, which is not a good book to read before you go to bed. But, however, and it came to me before, but it really hit me now. I'm almost at the end, and I'm thinking, you know, God will have his way no matter what happens. I'm not telling you not to vote, but God will put those in authority that he wants to. And his promises will, from the beginning of time, he has never broken his promises. Ever, ever, ever. So all you have to do is read your Bible and you will see what God is going to do. People say to me, what is going to happen? I said to them, do you have a Bible? They said, yes. I said, when was the last time you opened it up? Well, when I was like a teenager, I read it. I said, open it up now. It is telling you what is happening. And do not fear, for God is always near. Thank you.
All right. I just want to thank everybody for being so loving and welcoming to myself and my family. You guys are awesome. We came in here day one and everybody's hugging us and shaking our hands and asking about us. And I just want to say that's a testimony of the love of Jesus in this place. And I thank God for that. It's just week one, we sat back there, the Lord's moving, everybody's crying. I'm like, oh God, you're moving in this place, Lord. You're answering the earnest prayers of the people that have been petitioning you and calling on you for a revival in this place for a long time. And I know God's going to do something very special here. I've been hearing the prayer requests and everything that's going on. It's really evident that we're all in a fight. We're all in a struggle. And I think many times in the seasons of our lives that we've been through, even with church history and crazy stuff that's happened that we've been through, God has been our rock. He doesn't change. Even though external situations and things may come and go, physical things happen to us, we have heartache and pain and all these things. But God is our rock and our salvation. He doesn't change through it all. And that's why I can still sing praise and worship him today. And I go back in the book of 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. And this is right after some giants had been slain, and David and his men were fighting, and we're all in a fight. And I think of this many times, and David sung this song. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Sometimes family members can fight you too when you're trying to walk right and serve the Lord with your whole heart. Not everybody's going to be okay with that. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies, whether that be sickness or disease or people giving you trouble. When the waves of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed about me, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried, cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. And the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook, and his cause he was wroth. And then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth and devoured, and coals were kindled by it. And he bowed down in heavens also and came down. We're hearing the testimonies of God showing up. He comes down. When you start seeking his face and crying out to him and you're sincere and you're not playing games with him, he's going to come down. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions round about him. You know, I started thinking about things. Brother Ernie spoke last week about what the Catholic Church was doing. I'll tell you what, when you start to give a biblical revelation of who God is, you either get on his side, or I don't know. Your future is uncertain. And I hear God, and I hear the way he comes down and moves for his people when he hears their prayers, when he steps in, when he heals all their diseases, when he forgives all their sins, when he washes away the past. I can't deny that. And the testimonies that I'm hearing in this place of you guys have seen that. That when God moves and he does something sovereignly, you can't deny it. I need God. I don't want to do this on my own. I'm done doing my own thing. His way is good and true. He is that rock that I stand on. And I just want to give one more scripture here back in 1 Timothy 6 chapter 12 verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul is giving Timothy charge. He knows he's about to go to Jerusalem and die. He said, it would be better that I go for me, but I stay for your sakes. And he gives charge to this young man to set up and oversee the churches. And I think of these words, fight the good fight. This walk that we walk is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the double-minded. It's not for the person that wants to play games with God. He knows our heart and all things are open and naked before him. But I thank you that together we can fight this good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. God doesn't change. He remains the same. There's no variableness or shadow of turning in him. He's reliable, unlike us sometimes. He keeps his word, unlike we do sometimes when we say we'll do something and we don't. That's why I thank him that he's not a man that he would lie. He's faithful and true. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is the great I am and the Holy One of Israel. And I'm going to praise him all the days of my life as long as he gives me strength to do it. So I'm just very thankful today for such a good and faithful God. All right.
Thank you, everyone who shared. And Jesse, you know, the scripture is alive. Like, it's a mystery, and that's the only way I can explain it, that it's a mystery that a book that was written thousands of years ago still speaks to the events today, like clear, like it gives clear counsel and clear guidance. So it is living, like it the Bible says. And another verse is Galatians 6, I think it's 4 maybe. Never give up on doing good, because if you know, in the due time, you will receive a reward. I think I kind of botched that a little bit, but I think the gist was there. So thank you so much for sharing. And it is truly, you know, I want to say humbling, because it is humbling, but God is and desires to be in our lives, and he is active in our lives. And if anyone here doesn't have that experience, that personal experience that God is in your life, or that God wants to be in your life and you haven't asked him in, please see Pastor James or someone that they can walk you through that. It's not a it's not a complicated step. It's just a desire to have God in your life and asking Him in. So please, if you don't have that, please reach out. And we'll just close with song and then a benediction.
Before we go into the last song, and I know we're running late, but God doesn't work on a timetable. Pam, thank you for sharing. Everyone, thank you for sharing. But God was speaking to my heart. Is there something that you have been praying years for and you've been wanting to see it happen and wondering, kind of like Mary Beth said, where is God? Why are you not answering me? Back in 2015, my mother-in-law at the time was diagnosed with cancer. First, it was lung cancer, and I actually got to sit in the room with her when they came in and gave her that diagnosis. And I can't remember what I said to her after the doctor walked out, but I kept always wanting to point her to God and to His ability to do what He does. So we walked through that journey. I think she had radiation. Well, she had surgery and radiation and different things. And then she was doing really, really well till November of 2015. And we were there for Thanksgiving, and she was sitting in her recliner after dinner. And I said, oh, do you want to do dessert now? And she couldn't move her left side. And I thought, oh, she's having a stroke. So I got a blood pressure cuff. You know, this is what nurses do. We jump into action. Got all that, and her blood pressure was high. And I said, we're going to the emergency room. And she said, no, I'm not going to the emergency room. I said, yes, you are going to the emergency room. So we took her to the ER up at Hershey, and they did a bunch of tests. And I'm still thinking stroke, you know. Here it turns out she had a bunch of lesions in her brain. So the cancer had spread from her lungs now to her brain. And it was kind of at that moment we knew that we weren't going to beat this, you know. And so I've been praying for her, as I did for my whole family, to know Jesus. And she was hospitalized then, and it was right around the end, well, yeah, Thanksgiving, the end of November. The pastor and his wife at the time, it was before Pastor James and Tracy were here, it was Kim and Dan Billings, and I had said to Dan, would he think about coming up and visiting her in the hospital room, you know, and so he said, yeah, he would come. And so it was on a Saturday. I was up there just, it was, her name was Violet. It was just Violet and I sitting in that hospital room, and, you know, she had gone to church. I don't know if it was all her life, but I know she went to church, but she always had that doubt. You know, always had that doubt. Am I going to go to heaven or not? So I knew that she truly wasn't saved, because if you're truly saved, you don't have that doubt. You know where you're going to be. And so I'm sitting in the corner at the bedside and just praying that Dan would show up. And I stop, open my eyes, and who walks in the hospital room but Dan? And so he sat on the bed, and he was talking with Violet, and he asked her, he said, do you know where you're going to go when you take your last breath? And she said, no, I don't. And he said, well, would you like to? So I'm sitting in the corner, and I'm praying my heart out. Let it be so, let it be so. Sorry. That day in that hospital room, Violet knew she committed her life to Christ. Like Dennis said, it's not difficult. It's just a simple prayer. Yes, Lord, I need you. I know you are the only one who can save me. So from that moment on, we didn't fear death. I think that's how we kind of started the service this morning. We didn't fear death. Violet did not fear death.
And so when she passed, and I was able to be there too during that those last moments when she was on hospice, and there are some comical stories about that too, but I won't go into that. That day that Violet passed, I just raised my hand and said, thank you, Jesus. So whether you're praying for a family member or you're, you know, whatever you're praying for, no matter how long you've been waiting, God will answer. He will answer. And maybe not in the way you're looking for, but he will answer in the way that is going to be best and give you a hope and a future. And so claim those promises. And I, too, want to thank everyone for sharing. And Jesse, praise God that he brought you and your family here. And I think it's Jesse over here as well. You know, God is doing something big, and I can't wait.
Does everyone here have a name? Do you know your name? That's cool. When I read God's word and there's a name, I just place my name there. And then God's word speaks to you. This is what Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, or this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, who has formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. This is the part I love. You are mine. And then this is the truth that comes along with being redeemed. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, listen, your Savior. We all have a story. And if we don't cry out, the rocks and the hills will. My God saves. He preserves. And he prevails. We serve a mighty God. So let's worship him this week till we meet again next. Be blessed.